Well, hello there. Good evening and
welcome to show. Seems like we're having more and more audio problems here in the studio. TJ Reeves is on hold, but I think I am here for the long haul. Before we get started, welcome you to Buccaneers Radio Network. I'll give you the numbers, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 888-546-4620. Those numbers never change. But unlike our fortunes here in the past 3 weeks, we need some change. a lot of change, actually. We need to find a way to win all of these last three games and push our way towards a strong finish, which I thought we were going to do on Sunday.
But I know it was a heartbreaker. Forgive me for being a little tardy here on the show.
That's all right.
I don't even have a note from Mom. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right.
They're at the beginning of this program. So as you were saying, it's been tough the last three games, and none tougher than what happened there on Sunday. So it's been a couple of days, but how is it gone now, trying to get ready to go play the New Orleans Saints? Because that's what has to be done.
The best thing about week 15 of the NFL season is that you still have week 15 of the NFL season. And week 14, which ended up being a heartbreaker for us, is now gone. That's what I was alluding to before you walked in, is that even though or before your mic kicked in, but even though we had such a terrible loss. I mean, we signed up for 16 games at the beginning of the season, and I don't know anybody in our building that's not excited to go play the Saints and trying to get off this three-game losing streak, because that's all we can do. That's all we've got is what we have in front of us. And I think as men and as guys that love the game, we'll answer that challenge this week. And go down to New Orleans, and they're a team that's struggling too. I mean, they didn't show very well against New York last week. They've lost, I think, two or three in a row, and this will be a game where again we'll get to find out the character of our guys.
We're going to talk a lot tonight, not only about the Saints game, but I want to talk some about the Super Bowl 37 reunion that went on.
Absolutely.
The 10-year anniversary that you were part of as the last link to that team that's active on the Buccaneers. And I know there are a lot of fans. Ronde, I heard from so many people last week by the dozens, whether it be saw me in person, called me, off the air, text, email, whatever, that had so much enjoyment out of the radio shows last week and all of the buildup for the weekend. One of the complaints that I heard numerous times is we couldn't call in a lot of the time and talk to these guys and get to share with them. So tonight, I promise to make good here this evening. More of you, less of me talking with Ronde about what last weekend was like, because again, there were so many people that just enjoyed getting to reminisce about Super Bowl 37, and you are obviously unique because you're the last link to have played in that game and been around these guys and still active. So again, fans, you can join us at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll-free wherever you can hear the show via the technology that we have outside the Bay Area. Toll-free number works at 1-800-596-BUCKS. So if you've got questions about the reunion weekend and about the celebration at the stadium, whether you were there, whether you were simply listening to us on the radio, watching on TV, or just, soaking it up, however you did, feel free to join in, and we'd love to hear from you. So I encourage the fans to do that, and we'll take calls and comments and the whole bit on that. But as part of the buildup for that game, what was it like, just real quick, to take part in the Saturday night dinner? And then I know that you got to see a lot of people at that, and then a lot of people on the field before the game. What was all that like, Ronde?
That's all I got to do was stop by the event at the facility for about, 30, 40 minutes on Saturday night. And, most of the guys were there by then. But it was really a kind of a catch-up session. I'm not sure what they got into later in the evening. I'm sure it was some revelry. I obviously went back to the hotel, went to meetings, and went to sleep. But seeing all those guys on Sunday right before the game on the field, just get to visit, you know, for just a few minutes with the guys that were down there was, you know, it brought back some memories for sure. You know, Coach came up to me and said, "You're not going to get all emotional on me, are you?" right before the game. And no, I assured him I wasn't. You know, it's, you know, the good thing about it being 10 years ago is that, you know, I've long since put it away. You know, it's nice to revisit now and then, but, you know, for me, that's in the past. It doesn't relate to 2012 for me. So while it was nice to see those guys and you know, and kind of enjoy that moment, you know, I'm well on to 2012, and that's about it. But it was good to see those guys. I haven't seen like Alshamon Singleton in years, you know, since he left here. You know, I hadn't seen Joe Jarvisius in a long, long time. I got to spend a couple of minutes with him. You know, them and their families, you know, most of them had their wives there on the event Saturday night. So, John Howell, you know, I was really close with, when he was here, you know, get a chance to, you know, just to catch up. I didn't do much reminiscing, like I said, cause I wasn't there for majority of it, but, you know, just the hellos was good.
Well, and this is why we love the Insight. This is why it is Total Access, getting to talk about being around those different guys and say hello to them. I know we were talking with head coach Greg Schiano that he was down there on the field a couple of hours before the game, and John Gruden is standing there, and Warren Sapp is standing there, and Keyshawn, and then, you know, Monty Kiffin and Brad Johnson. And he said, for us, I remember those guys. I remember that defense in particular, and remember Monty Kiffin and all of us trying to learn from the Tampa 2 or whatever. So, you know, for the fans, again, it was neat to get to experience that all week. For those that were fortunate enough to be at the stadium, or whether you were watching it on TV or hearing us on the radio, to get to relive that. And I sensed it all over this community. Did you sense it in the stadium on game day, the fans and the love they have for that 0-2 team, especially at halftime, Rhonda?
Well, I didn't get a chance to see any of the halftime or hear it. You know, we're in the middle of adjustments,
right?
At halftime, we were down 10 nothing at that point. So the last thing on my mind, to be honest with you, was, you know, what they were doing out there at halftime. But I'm sure it was a great scene. I understood John got a chance to say a few words, and you know, you got the chance to introduce the starters from that team. So it was. You know, it was what it should have been. You know, I think, you know, you get 10 years after a Super Bowl, the defining win in our really existence as a franchise, and that's a special moment, and it should be shared by everybody. You know, the ones that that remember it, and the ones that don't, just get a chance to relive, you know, what was true greatness for us. So I'm happy for that. Yeah, I tell you one thing. There was a whole lot of Philly fans there, too, though. I know that they helped fill the stadium and get the blackout lifted and all that other jazz. But I was hopefully during that halftime, which I didn't get a chance to experience. Hopefully there was enough cheers to drown out some of those boos from those Philly fans.
Yeah, it was the case, and especially when John Gruden got on the microphone. It is interesting. You were introduced, even though you were in the locker room as one of the starters, you were introduced as the final starter there on the defense, and everybody roared. And then John Gruden was the one that took the mic.
Yeah, I think he took the mic, TJ, and was really trying to get guys, or get the whole crowd and the whole stadium to – I believe his words, as someone told me, were to embrace this team like they embraced us back in 2002, or that 2002 Buccaneers team. And I tell you, that was one of the most enjoyable things about that year. And it's, you know, not something that a lot of fans even hear about or even know about. Was you know, there was a lot of times during that year we'd come back from road games, and, you know, there'd be 10, you know, 15 fans standing outside of One Buck Place, you know, cheering us on. And there was just this feeling that, you know, everything was there was some cohesion in the whole community about what we were doing. And, you know, obviously we didn't know we were going to win a Super Bowl at that point, but you could feel it. You could feel that the support was there, and that the momentum was being built to where we eventually ended up. And I think our fans had a had a big role in that. That was something out that I'll always remember. Anyways, we're gonna take a break here. TJ is Mike is gone. I'll give you the numbers again: 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, and 888-596-BUCKS. And we come back, we'll get some callers in, and let you guys discuss with me about the Bucks 2002 Super Bowl and what's going to happen through the rest of 2012.
And we're back in here on this Tuesday talking with Rondé Barber on Buccaneers Total Access. We will talk more about the New Orleans Saints coming up and also, obviously, the Super Bowl 37 reunion. A lot of you hanging on the phones. You can join us here tonight at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620 and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS. That's 1-800-596-2827 on the toll-free here tonight. So, Rondé, you ready to go to the phones and chat with some of the fans?
Certainly. Let's do so.
All right. Here is Ron in St. Pete. You are up first here with Rondé Barber on Total Access. Hey, Ron.
DJ.
Hey there.
Hey, Rondé.
What's up, Ron?
Hi, man. It's always a pleasure. This is like the third time I think I've gotten to talk to you, but I'm a faithful listener. To TJ show, and I appreciate that you guys give us this opportunity. But Rondé, I just wanted to say that I admire you so tremendously, and I have my son. You know, when I talk to my son, we've several times, and when he's on his way to his youth football, he's played 6 years of football, and I explained to him the importance of don't let anything get in your way of what you believe in. Size doesn't matter, you know. And he'll always tell him, you know, he always says to me, you know, like because look at Rondé, you know. And he always says that he thinks of you before each and every one of his games.
I like that.
And you know, it's just a special thing. I will never forget that year. But not just that Super Bowl year, but I think every year that you've played, it's been great. I sit up in the third level, so I watch you and I see some of the form tackles and just you know, some of the things that you do. You always seem to be around the football. And I just think it really truly is amazing. And I've been a fan for a long time. I grew up here and was born here. But I just really hope that you you continue to play, because I think you add a lot to our team, and a lot of guys really look up to you. And I wanted to also comment on when I saw that press conference. I'm with you, brother. I'm with you, Rondé. I would have been, you know. Asking a question, like, you know, when you said that's just a chicken, you know, question. You know, it's like I don't want to hear that after that's got to be tough. Nobody wants to sit there in front of the reporters and get asked questions like that. But I was totally with you on that, and I watch all your press conferences, all of Coach Yano's, and I follow the team. And with that, I will go ahead and hang up so TJ can get the other callers. But I just want to say, Rondé, just keep going. Finish out this season strong, and we really, really, really appreciate you.
Appreciate it, Ron.
Yeah, those reporters, those sideline guys with microphones, they can get under your nerves sometimes. But it was not me in this case.
No,
we should clarify that.
It was not TJ. You didn't ask me the question that struck my ear. It was, I guess I should say ire, not ears on my head. But, you know, it's just the fact. And it's, you know, it is what it is. I don't really feel like revisiting, but, you know, you play this game as hard as you can, and you do the things in the moment that you think are best to win the football game, and it has nothing to do with who you're playing. I can absolutely promise you that. There's only 1,800 guys in the NFL. There's 32 teams, and the guys on the best team aren't that much different than the guys on the worst team in the NFL. That is a fact. It'll never be any different. You know, to judge a team by their record on any Sunday is, I think, a joke and a ridiculous question. And I'm glad that I didn't let out as much anger as I was feeling at that moment. I stopped myself.
Well, and that's the veteran in you. You've been at this a long time, and it's a tough thing, and I appreciate it, and I know the fans appreciate it when you guys are willing to come on live right after a loss, just a few minutes after a loss, with the way that we do things on a radio network. So thank you for that. And Again, you know, most of the time, most of the media understands that, and, you know, sometimes they don't. So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
Back to the phones on Buccaneers Total Access. Here's Rich in Tampa. You're on here with Rondae Barber. Hey, Rich.
Hey, you know, Rondae, I think you personally are responsible for so many people in Tampa being fans of the Buccaneers still. I
got
to tell you, I've lived here about 15 years now, and you're such an example and a role model, and we really appreciate that. You know, I love telling my kids about, you know, role models in sports, and you're one of them. And I wanted to let all the listeners know how gracious Rondae is. I had occasion, Rondae, you may remember this. We had won a charity dinner a couple of years ago at Fleming's. So Rondae brought his wife and Raheem.
We had
quite a boisterous evening. Remember that, Rondae? I started telling stories about working in the ER, and we just had such a great time, and you were so gracious. And, you know, I know you guys must get tagged with going to those dinners and meeting fans and stuff all the time, but we just had such a good time, and you guys are so genuine, and I really appreciated that. And it just made me appreciate you even more.
It's worth it for me to get that opportunity. I mean, otherwise I stay in my same circle, which, you know, is sometimes good, but you know, it's nice to branch out, and I remember that evening very well. The food was good. I guess the wine was good. The company was great. the company was absolutely perfect, so thank you.
How about that? All right. Anything else there, Rich? All right. He's done. What does that mean to you that I know it doesn't get old for you. I will not speak completely for you, but I know that about you, and you've told us that, and you've told me that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get old.
Well, it's part of what we do, you know. We don't operate in a vacuum just because we play professional football. You know, we're integral parts really of our community. Even if you don't want to be, and I'm one of those guys that, you know, I don't ever like claiming to be a role model, because when you put that tag on you, then you know it's you really, if you're a parent putting that tag on somebody, I think you're enabling some undue and kind of some tough expectations on that person. But you know, the ones that do it right, and the ones that understand their role in the community, you know, can be great role models. You just don't want to have to answer the questions when they sometimes don't live up to that status, because you know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. There's no question that you know, sometimes, you know, you don't do what's best at the moment, but I've tried to be, believe me, and it's not always easy. No, I'm not perfect, but I do love interacting with anybody in the community, because I really can't go anywhere anymore and not get recognized, and that's, you know, it's a blessing and a curse, you know. But I think most guys that appreciate what they do and are humble about their opportunity to play football, you know, appreciate that. I know I have for all these years, because, you know, as much as it is to be, you know, have that kind of notoriety, you know, it goes away really quickly too. And it's a great chance to, you know, just to say who you are and tell what you're about, and, you know, really set an example for the man you want everybody to believe you are. And that's you know, that's the best thing I can, you know, say about it, because it's funny that he brought this up, because I have those guys in my locker room that swear that I wasn't a nice guy when they first met me, and I'm like, all right, you got to keep that to yourself. That's only when I'm in the locker room.
There you go. Well, and that's why we love Rondae for who he is. All right, 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS for you to join us. And that is the toll-free number if you're outside the area. Here is Jay in Tampa, who's been waiting on Buccaneers Total Access. Hey, Jay.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up, Jay?
Hey, Rondae. A couple things came to mind, and I'll be quick. I just want to know a few things, and I appreciate all you've done for the community. But what was on my mind was, what did you say to the young kid, Gore, after obviously he was probably devastated by missing that interception?
Yeah.
And the other two things I was wondering is, how do you stay so healthy over all these years? And third, do we have a better chance of seeing you coaching the Bucks in the broadcast booth for the Bucks, or mayor of Tampa one day?
Oh, and
I'll hang up the list.
Wow,
thanks, bud.
What a question.
It's a question. You know, I uh, After Danny, you know, had that op at the end of the game, and it obviously would have won the game for us. You know, you obviously feel for him, but you know, you tell him what you're feeling. You try to command, you know, get his attention right back into what he's got to do. At least that's what I would do. It's like, Danny, come on, next play, because you know, regardless that he dropped that ball, you know, the next play is lining up, and it's lining up quickly, and you know, you're upset. And I've had plenty of drops in my career. Some crucial, some not so crucial, but drop is a drop, you know, in your head, the moment doesn't go away. Like once you want to hang on to that moment, like, oh God, why didn't I just catch it? But reality is next play's coming and you gotta get back to focus on doing your job. And that's all I said. It was Danny, come on, next play. And that's why, say that to guys all the time. You know, whether it's the first play of the game or last play of the game, you know.
To his credit, after the game, Rhonda, he said on the live radio interview, stand-up moment, he said, hey, I've got to make that play. Yeah. If I want to play in this league, if I want to reach my goals, I got to make that play.
He's that kind of kid.
But like you said, you got another play coming. Yeah. So now you got to shake that out, shake it off as best you can.
He actually came up to me Monday and, apologized again. I was like, hey, man, there's nothing you can do about that now. I mean, as much as you want to feel bad about it, there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. Obviously you want to make the play and we all know that. He knows that. But once that moment is gone, there's no rewind button. So there's no use dwelling on it, living in the past. It'll only ever bring you down. You learn from it and do your best. And I don't know exactly how you do it or how everybody else does it, but you do your best to emphasize that if that opportunity presents itself again, you know, then you got to seize it. What was the other part of his question?
Second, the next part was how have you stayed so healthy, throughout your career with this consecutive games started streak?
I wish I knew. I think I play pretty smart. You know, I don't put myself in position to get hurt. First of all, don't duck my head. Don't do any of those things. I think I tackle the right way. And I don't throw my, I try not to get around piles when they're moving. You know, if I do, I got my legs out of the ground. You know, there's just little things that I pick up. But you know, I've been lucky, been blessed. Haven't had any major injuries. Or anything that's kept me out of playing, you know, any of the major ones I've been able to play through, which is somewhat of a blessing from the team that they've allowed me to play through them over the years. And that was mainly when I was younger. I haven't really had any in the past seven, eight years. It's just, there's no secret. I take care of myself. I do have some different modalities that I use, which we've talked about in the past. But it's a lot of it is, you know, just being very, very lucky, and I don't discount that at all.
And the third thing he asked, which is a fascinating question, do you see yourself coaching in a broadcast booth or mayor of Tampa? Now, that is Monty Hall, door number one, door number two, door number three.
He's got to give me a time frame on any of those things.
I think you told us earlier on election night you would never go into politics.
No way.
Never as in never.
No way. No way.
You could not be coached to run for mayor of Tampa.
No way. I too much, I don't know. Half the people hate you.
It's only half, you're probably doing well, right?
That's not a good thing. Coaching, I don't know. That's tough too. The hours commitment and the anxiety, having to deal with putting together a game plan and hoping that it, and not hoping, but, you know, trying to implement it to the guys so it works on Sunday. There's some stress there. I don't know if I need that in my life after spending, you know, 16 or however many years I do in the NFL.
About that. All right, so that's a great one, a great way to put it. Again, we'll have more with Rhonda Barber. If you got questions, if you got comments, whether it's about Super Bowl reunion, or about the Saints coming up, we will talk more about that. It is Buccaneers Total Access here on this Tuesday night. We will have the game from New Orleans on Sunday at 1, pregame at noon, right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We'll be back. We are back in on this Tuesday night. Thanks for tuning in. It is Buccaneers Total Access, and Rhonda Barber sits here with us on these Tuesday nights. And again, we've been talking some about the game Sunday with the Philadelphia Eagles and also the Super Bowl 37 reunion that took place. Again, if you've got questions or comments, as I said at the top of the show here, that so many people that I talked to loved hearing all, whether it was Keyshawn Johnson or John Lynch calling with you or Warren Sapp or Brad Johnson or Dexter Jackson, the MVP last Friday night, loved hearing all the former players. And we got a lot of them also on the radio broadcast on Sunday as well. But one of the themes that I heard from Sophie was, we didn't get to talk to those guys. We didn't get to call in. Well, you've got one of those guys right here. If you want to pick his brain or talk about that Super Bowl reunion or that Super Bowl team, take advantage of it. So do so at 990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. And toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. So we'll get to your calls in just a second. Warren Sapp was around on Sunday. You always know that Warren's around.
Oh, yeah.
Gregarious, loud guy.
That's a perfect word for him.
So did you get to see him briefly pregame, well before the
game?
Yeah,
I saw him Saturday. Spent as much time with him as anybody on Saturday, just because, you know, once Warren gets you in his conversation, you're not getting out of it. You know, he just engages you too much, which is what you expect from that guy. But you just love it. I mean, he's, you know, from what I understand, he was the life of the night on Saturday.
Shocking.
On Saturday, you know, which is always fun, man, because he was definitely that guy when he was here then, and he has not changed, which is good to see. And I saw him again on Sunday, obviously, you know, gave him big bear hug for the game, which was good, man. He still wished me well and told me to keep doing it, so love him for that, for sure.
He was having a massive tailgate outside the East Stands on that side in the parking lot with, I believe it's Myron Nix is the guy's name, who he calls Barbecue Jesus. And he invited all the fans that could get there to come. And he was showing me photos on his phone down on the field. And apparently this was, you were well in the throes of preparing for the game, as you should have been. But there was a big-time tailgate with a lot of those players and a lot of the fans outside the stadium. So that was big time.
No, I heard there was good tailgates out there. You know, obviously some of those guys had their own. I think they had a Bucks tailgate. I'm not sure. You know how many guys went to that deal before the game, but you know it was all part of the celebration. I mean, most of those guys came in on Thursday, and a bunch of them met up on Friday night and went out to, I think, 717 down there. It was actually they were at 717 before who's Ray's manager?
Joe Madden.
For Joe Madden's event there that night, that Friday night. So I think that was the place to be on Friday. I'm sorry I missed it. Actually, I'm not sorry I missed it. I'm glad I wasn't there.
You're working, though.
Yeah, probably would have been a late night for me, which I didn't need. But you know, they had a great night Friday. I think all of them had a good day and a good night Saturday, and then culminated at the game on Sunday. So you know, I think it was what it was supposed to be. I think the Buccaneers did a great job. Everybody I talked to said they did a great job, you know, organizing that and getting these guys back. Because you might know better than me. There was at least 50 guys back, right?
With something players, like that.
Players and coaches, you know, a couple of the staff that were there. Rich McKay, you know, who voided his team's, you know, loss in Carolina, actually, to come to our game to celebrate that championship, which was unbelievably nice of him. So we had a good time as a team, or they had a good time. But in general, that 2002 team, I think, had a great reunion back home here in Tampa.
And for a lot of those guys that maybe aren't the household names, they were so appreciative of that too. I talked to several of them and said, man, this is just great that we were able to get back, be recognized, and be part of this. So, again, a lot of fun for the Buck fans. All right, back to the phones. I believe it is Ban in Tarpon Springs. Here is Ban with Rondé Barber on Total Access. Hey there.
Hey, Rondé. Hey, guys. It's Bernard, actually.
Bernard. Okay, my bad. Bernard, go ahead.
Not a problem. Hey, Rondé, I played golf with you a couple of times, my man.
Yeah, I remember.
About the Landsbrook and so on.
Yeah, long time ago,
And I wanted a couple of things. I want the community to know that you are a super stand-up athlete, and besides that, you're a heck of a man and what you do for these people. But to turn me from a Rams fan, you know, I grew up with the Rams as a little child, and I've been in Florida 20 years, man, and you have your excitement on the field. You know, teams put out there to put out a product to entertain the fans, and you are the most, you're the Frank Sinatra, if I would, of NFL football, period, bar none.
I like that.
I like
that's
that.
That's how I see it.
Minus the blue eyes. Yeah.
It's the truth. I wanted to just ask you real quickly, in lieu of the things that have happened in the NFL recently,
mm-hmm.
do the Bucs employ a micromanaging program for, you know, you guys after dark before, you know, to kind of keep everybody in check? And if they don't, would they?
Yeah.
And, next time we play, you got to give me 3 strokes. You're too good.
Yeah, right. That's you want to play me right now because I haven't swung in 5 months and my shoulders are beat up. But to answer your question, yeah, I mean there's been something in place for quite a while now. You know, to answer those questions, some of the issues that the league has had these past 2 weeks. You know, they've had these two deaths in these past two weeks. Every team has a player development guy. Ours is Terry Cousins, who was a player in the league. Before that, it was Eric Vance, who played for us. You know, every team has that in place, as well as our union and the NFL have, you know, availability of, you know, not only counseling, but, you know, opportunities for guys to, you know, to not just have to go home and talk to people. They can talk to people, you know, anonymously or whatnot. You know, with the drinking and driving issue, we have, you know, cars that will come pick you up. You know, we have everybody has a security guy that have 24-hour access to. So yeah, those things are in place. But you know, at the end of the day, it's one man's decision to do the right or the wrong thing. And you know, I'm sure you don't go out trying to be, you know, to do the wrong thing. But like I was saying earlier in the show, it's not necessarily pertainable, but it's still the same. You know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. But you have to be able to own up to them when you do. And the guys, I think, that stay out of trouble are the ones that make the right decisions all the time. And that's, I'm telling you, it's hard to do sometimes, especially if you're trying to live the NFL life, or the life that the NFL, you know, affords you, which is not necessarily a great thing if you do it to excess.
I thought it was interesting Sunday night. Rodney Harrison said something at halftime of the Sunday night game where they were talking about the unfortunate car accident that killed one of the Cowboys practice squad guys, where his teammates, you know, accused of driving drunk. And Rodney said, "Hey, earlier in my career, I was one of those guys that was trying to stay out late on Friday night in particular and doing things that I should not have been doing." And I realized that after about 2 or 3 years in the league.
Certainly. Yeah.
In his words, paraphrasing, what a privilege it was to play in the NFL. And I realized, what am I doing, risking my career, risking my life with his lifestyle? And he basically just stopped.
Yeah.
And he said, I did not partake during a season at all. Because of it. And so, like you said, for each his own. But I thought it was fascinating to hear Rodney Harrison say that early on in my career, that could have been me, is kind of what he was saying.
Yeah, I don't think that it couldn't be anybody. I mean, it could be anybody, you know, regardless of athlete or, you know, regular population person that's not an athlete. But for us, the window is so incredibly small. The last thing you want to do is jeopardize that opportunity. Because of a mistake like that. And, you know, the issue is addressed all the time. You have 6 months of work, you know, 6 months to focus on what you're doing. I mean, the last thing you should be wanting to do is be out and about and running the streets. And I know that, you know, I know guys do it. I mean, I'm not begrudging them for doing it. You know, I've had my moments. But, you know, make smart decisions. And, you know, during this time of year, I mean, the focus should be, you know, on your job, you know, how best to prepare yourself physically, and being out till 3 o'clock is not the best way to prepare yourself physically for football, for Sunday. So that is what it is. And I know it's not a great cliche, but you reap what you sow. And unfortunately, It doesn't always end up in a good way.
Well, and if you use, I mean, you can use whatever cliche or metaphor you want about playing with matches or whatever. I mean, it's just something, and this is part of life, larger social thing on being responsible, especially with the holiday time of the year. We'll just do our public service here on Buccaneers Total Access. If you have had too much to drink, if you are doing it, make arrangements for someone else to drive. At least do that. And that's, you know, on behalf of me, of Rondé, of everybody else, you know, not just for your own safety, but obviously passengers you might have and other people on the road, do the smart thing, do the responsible, do the safe thing.
His coach likes to say it. You know, this is one of his sayings he says all the time. He says, it catches up to you. And he says, when does it catch up to you? When it catches up to you. So it catches up to you when it catches up to you. And you don't want, obviously you don't want that to happen. And one of the worst things, and we actually had this conversation this week, was you don't want it to be so much of a distraction that you you get away from who you're really supposed to be, and the worst thing that can happen is that you get away with it. You know, you go out and you drink and you drive and you're drunk and you get home safe and nothing happens. You know, that's the worst thing that can happen to you. He had a great story about, you know, a kid stealing some candy, and then, you know, he gets home and his mom sees that he got this candy, and where did he get this candy from? And obviously he had stolen it, and then his mom caught him, you know, so he's caught. He won't go back and, you know, do it again. But when you get away with it, and, you know, it's not a problem, you know, it'll catch up to you eventually.
All right, here's a fun one to kind of lighten it up. You obviously have a twin brother. Mm-hmm. Did you ever take something and then when mom came around, you blamed it on your identical twin?
I've broken plenty of things and blamed it on blamed it on him.
Did you get away with it, or did she know?
No, it did not matter. Whoever did, we were both getting in trouble.
I see. So just punish both of you on that. These are the things
learn
that we
that
need
lesson.
To know.
Learn that lesson quickly.
All right, back to the phones. Mark has been waiting in Tampa. You are next on Buccaneers Total Access here with Rondé Barber. Hey, Mark.
Hello, Rondé.
Hey, Mark.
Just wanted to call in the first time ever on the show. Just let you know that I think you're wrong about if you ran for politics. I think they would all love you because you're a class. You are a class act, Rondé, and you lead by, you know, your leadership's ability. I mean, people follow you. The kids out there, if they want to look up to somebody as a leader, you definitely would exemplify that. I think he could be a great ambassador for the NFL here. I have a couple questions for you, and that is, how much of a transition is it to go from to a new coach for a player? I know you've been through three for sure, possibly four.
Four. Yeah, this is my Coach Young's up my fourth. So yeah.
Okay,
All right, back to the phones. Mark has been waiting in Tampa. You are next on Buccaneers Total Access here with Rondé Barber. Hey, Mark.
Hello, Rondé.
Hey, Mark.
Just wanted to call in the first time ever on the show. Just let you know that I think you're wrong about if you ran for politics. I think they would all love you because you're a class. You are a class act, Rondé, and you lead by, you know, your leadership's ability. I mean, people follow you. The kids out there, if they want to look up to somebody as a leader, you definitely would exemplify that. I think he could be a great ambassador for the NFL here. I have a couple questions for you, and that is, how much of a transition is it to go from to a new coach for a player? I know you've been through three for sure, possibly four.
Four. Yeah, this is my Coach Young's up my fourth, so yeah.
Okay, and what would your plans? What would you like to do once you get retired here?
I'll answer the second part of that first. Is the way I've been answering it all year and last year and the year before that is I have no idea. You know, I certainly have options. I've spent some time, you know, with the TV stations, spent some time with radio. So I think that opportunity presents itself if I want it. I probably not coaching, even though people keep asking me, right. Why don't you coach? You'd be a great coach. I'm like, I don't have the patience to coach. Not enough guys are like me for me to want to coach.
By the way, Raheem Morris, when we talked to him a year ago about what do you think Rondé would do, would he ever coach? He said, absolutely not. Doesn't have the temperament.
Yeah.
And I kind of questioned. He said, no. He didn't believe it. So you would prove him wrong if you were to go.
No way. I
was just thinking of this when he was talking about it. When's the last fall that you didn't play football? That's got to be like early 90s, middle school, maybe you didn't play. You've played every fall. You've played football.
Since I was 10 years old.
So, I mean, you're working on 25 plus years of every fall. That's what you've done. That's what you know.
26 years, yeah. Yeah. It's what I do, obviously. It's not all of who I am, but, you know, when you do it that long, it becomes a little bit of who you are. But it's definitely what I do, and I'm just I'm used to it now. It's my routine. I've been in it so long, I wouldn't know what else to do. But I will certainly figure that out. But to answer your second question, Mark, about the transition, new coaches, it's always difficult at first. But eventually, and you spend enough time, you know, with them and with the new staff, or, you know, my other transitions were actually really easy because it was with the same staff. We had very minimal turnover on defense with the other three regime changes. But this one was a completely new change, you know, all new guys. But it's, you know, it's change at first, and change is not easy. It shouldn't be easy. Especially when you're trying to change a culture to the way that you want it. And that's what Coach Chiano's been doing, and it continues today. You know, there's nothing that we don't do on a weekly and daily basis that isn't trying to mold our franchise into the image of what he wants it. And that's the way all of them have been. You know, they've all been different, but all, you know, in their own way, you know, good for the man that's running it. So.
Voice of Rondé Barber. We will pause. I promise we'll talk a little more New Orleans Saints. Might have time to squeeze in another call here. Jump on those phones if you like on Buccaneers Total Access, 990-4620 in Hillsboro, Pinellas 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. We will be back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. The remaining moments with 2-0 Rondé Barber here on the Buccaneers Radio Network, as it's Buccaneers Total Access, Buccaneers and the Saints coming up. I'll ask a little more about them in a few moments. You have shared with us on more than one occasion about you know, the process, and when somebody was talking earlier in the year about staying in great shape, just reiterate again, it's not just getting in shape in July or August. Staying in the NFL requires you to be in shape 12 months out of the year. And that process has served you well now for 16 off seasons as well to be able to stay healthy, right?
Nearly 12 months. I mean, there's obviously some downtime in there. You know, immediately after your season's over, I mean, you really shouldn't do anything. You should take at least 2 or 3 weeks and, you know, get yourself mentally off the grind. If certainly not physically, but yeah, it's been a steady deal. And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of injuries, I mean, I know this for a fact, a lot of injuries, football wise come from overwork. And, you know, one of the things I've tried to do over the past 10 years is to, you know, monitor how much I work, so I don't pound myself in the off season. You know, I try not to do any change of direction deals unless I'm doing football. I mean, it's stuff that I don't need to work on. I don't need that, you know, the extra torque on my knees and, you know, my ankles and all, and hips, all that stuff. When you say if you did DB drills for 8 straight months, you know, not 8, that's be too long, but like 4 straight months before football started, you know, it's extra wear and tear.
Right.
So I've been real smart about that, real smart about how much pounding I take. And, you know, when it's time to push and I know I need to get stronger and season's about to roll on, then you step it up and you do those things that, you know, those hard workouts, whatever else that you hear about. Get in with JB now, and it was with Kurt and with our other guys before, but, you know, and just really, really push it when I have to. But for me, it's been more about being smart. I say it best, I work smarter than harder. And that's worked well for me over the years.
All right, back to the phones one more time. Here is Bo in Tampa, who's been waiting with Ronde Barber on Total Access. Hey, Bo.
Hey, how's it going, Ron?
What's up, man?
Hey, I have a quick question for you. I have a friend that lives in Perth, Australia.
Mm-hmm.
That's the western coast of Australia. And he is now a Buccaneer fan. And, of course, obviously he can't call into the show or whatever, so I have to ask questions for him.
Okay.
So my question is to you, or his question is to you, is throughout your career, which is an incredible one, to be even lasting 16 years in this league,
yep.
is who is the, in your opinion, who is the toughest wide receiver that you had to cover? Throughout your career, I mean, the one that really, I mean, it's during pregame you had to really study a lot more, you know, and so forth and so on. But who was the guy that really that gave you the toughest one to cover?
It's
now,
hard.
Before you answer, Roddy, Bo, we got to go in just a second. The friend in Australia, he's from Tampa, or he's an Australian who just adopted the Bucs.
No, he had adopted the Bucs. The reason being is because I play an online game with him.
And
I follow his team over in Australia, which happens to be the West Coast. I hate to say it, but the Eagles, West Coast Eagles.
So you follow footy or Australian rules football or rugby?
Yeah, no, Australian rules.
Which they call footy, by
right.
the way,
yeah.
right? They call that footy. Yeah. So you follow his team, he follows your team. All right, so there's the clarity.
Yeah, exactly. I send him tapes, and he sends me tapes.
Wow. All right, great stuff. Bo, we got to run. We'll let Ronde answer the question. Tough wide receivers. Do you want to pick one or a couple?
That's impossible to pick one.
You want
to
pick a couple?
There's a couple. I mean, obviously, I play Steve Smith twice a year. He's, you know, for years, he was, you know, just the hardest working guy I've ever been against. You know, Randy Moss back when I was younger was – you know, it gave you nightmares because you knew there was things you, no matter what you did, you couldn't
T.O.
cover him. T.O. in his prime was, you know, the hardest running, you know, most physical guy out there.
Jerry Rice?
I got Jerry at the end. So I'll tell you, when I played Jerry, he wasn't the Jerry that I thought he was when we played him in the Super Bowl. That's the first time that I played him. You know, when we played Indy a few times, you know, when Marvin and Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne were there. You know, that combination of those two and their quarterback was, you know, that was about as daunting a challenge as you could possibly want. So I mean, there could be a number of guys, man. It's impossible to place it all one. But you know, those are a few.
Great stuff there. I got about 2-3 minutes left here before we have to get out of here. New Orleans Saints rematch game. You come off a heartbreaker. They come off a game where they were beaten decisively in New York. Rematch of a game that was a wild game here. Just talk about playing the Saints again and the challenges, Ron.
Yeah, you always look forward to, you know, the second rematch, or you know, the rematch game in these series. You know, these six games that we have all year with our division opponent, and these guys, you know, really put a number on us. I mean, our game earlier in the year, you know, had so many just elements to it. You know, we got up big, and then, you know, they kind of went to a different gear in the second quarter, and you know, and took it to us on defense. So this will be one that for us, I think, will be good to prepare for. You know, we have some tape from them playing us, have some tape from them over the past couple of weeks, and we both know that, you know, both teams are in need of a win. You know, it's we'll do everything we can this week, you know, to win this one game. Like we try to do every week, but this is even to me, it's even more important, just because where we're at in the season. You know, with three games left, you always want to be playing great, finishing the season, and that's got to start this week.
It'll be a loud environment, a rematch game with the Saints coming straight ahead with Drew Brees and those weapons on that offense. Ronde, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Likewise, man.
And we look forward to seeing you Sunday there at the Superdome. Thank you for the time.
Absolutely.
There is Ronde Barber. My thanks to Eric Sachs for helping out with things here this evening. And again, Buccaneers and Saints Sunday at 1 will be on the air at noon. We're back next Tuesday night with another edition of Buccaneers Total Access with Ronde Barber. We'll talk to you again for that on the Buccaneers Radio Network. For now, good night.